You're listening to the Brooklyn Power Trip.
Yo, 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 what it do, baby? It's your boys, Monty, RJ the Brooklyn Savage, Brooklyn Power Trip. You already know it's Wednesday, so we're about to bring you another weekly wrestling. And I'm actually really happy. I don't know about you people. Today, off day, chilling. So, of course, it's a really nice day to chat some wrestling with my boy. And yeah, we got some things to discuss about. Mostly positive on my end, I'm not gonna lie. I know I've been shitting on a lot of shit the past couple weeks. but this week I've been really happy. I liked a lot. I liked what I saw on both shows, Monday and Tuesday. And I don't really have much complaints. So yeah, on my end it's pretty good. What about you, RJ?
None really here either. I mean, they did what I needed them to do. They both to stand and deliver in WrestleMania respectively, so I can't really complain. A lot more promo stuff than wrestling this week. I know a lot of people was bitching about that, but me myself personally, we got to build to WrestleMania. Let's save these guys and girls' bodies on the way to WrestleMania, shall we? You don't need nobody getting injured. You don't need nobody getting injured going into WrestleMania, you know what I'm saying? So
Yeah, that's a really good point. And they could put on a better match and saving it for the best, for the grandest stage of them all. I don't mind that. I don't mind them saving their bodies to put on a, you know, a really good quality, you know, memorable WrestleMania match. So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah.
But people, let's get into Monday Night Raw. They opened up with a matchup. Our boy Ricochet facing another boy of ours, JD McDonagh, Just Dome. And this is a really good opening match, man. I'm not gonna lie. Not too sure where Ricochet stands for WrestleMania. Probably nowhere, but that's okay. Granted, he's just coming back from injury, from that concussion he had. And I don't know though. I really enjoyed this match. I put out a tweet during the show. I mean, during Monday Night Raw. Whether or not Ricochet deserves a World Heavyweight title shot reign, would you be into that? The only reason why I was saying that is because it just dawned on me watching. I just don't see Ricochet ever having a bad match with anybody. He's just really fun to watch. He plays a really good underdog to the point where he's going to do something at some point in the match that wows you. And it's really fantastic how he does it. So I know he's a little he's iffy on the mic skills. The only thing I've really, really ever seen a Ricochet do decent mic skills was against Logan Paul. But other than that, yeah, I still can't get over when Drew McIntyre told him like shut up or some shit like that. Oh my god, he bitched him. It was so bad. That shit was so bad. But nah, man. What you think about the match and what are your thoughts on our boy Rico?
Yeah, I thought the match was really, really good. I thought they went out there, they balled. They fucking balled. Mm-hmm. They went out there and they were like, you know what, fuck this. We're not in the cards for Mania right now. So we're gonna go out here and we're gonna have our WrestleMania fucking tonight. And that's what they did. They went out there and had a fucking great match, man. Dominic got involved a couple of times till the referee got rid of him. The spot of the match, obviously, JD McDonagh was going for the Devil Inside. his finisher, where he yanks the guy up and gives him a Saito suplex.
Yeah.
But Ricochet caught him midway with a fucking destroyer, and I'm like, oh my god, that should have been the finish.
It
should have been the finish, but okay, it wasn't. But to be fair, Dominic did run interference at that point before he got kicked out. But Ricochet just he killed him. He killed him with a shooting star press from a standing position.
Standing.
From JD's point of view. And he got him 1-2-3. So that was good. I thought that was dope. That was really dope. They went out there and had a really good match. So Ricochet, as far as what you was proposing, Ricochet is world champion. I mean, you can give him a token run, 1 month, 2 months. It don't have to be that long. Once again, beating a dead horse here, but my main issue with Triple H is that he loves these long-ass championship runs. But it would be an instance for me where you could give a Ricochet like a nice little token. Here, thank you for your service. Here's a little month, 2 month, maybe even 3 month title reign.
Yeah, you're right.
Get it off of him sometime fall or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you could definitely do.
Yeah, it wouldn't be nothing wrong with that, I feel.
Yeah. You could definitely do 1 month, 2 months. I wouldn't even be mad at that. He held it.
Yeah, at least he said he held it. He had the championship once, and he could spend some more time chasing, and there's nothing wrong with that. They always say all the time, right? The money is in the chase of the title, the pursuit of the title. So, I don't know. You could have something there.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not too sure if this happened right after, but Candice LeRae had a little matchup, and it was very brief. It was just to showcase the development in her becoming heel, and Indy Hartwell out there still looking robotic, but she showed some type of emotion, like she wasn't rocking with it. So I don't know what's going on. This little why are you acting like this, pretending as if they were never heel together, is just weird. Like, with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, the continuity between NXT and like the main roster is like really there. So for them to like pretend as if they were never heel together, and Indy Hartwell acting all clueless as why she changed her ways, is just kind of stupid to me. It's like, why you act like this? Y'all were bad before. But
the thing is that she was dumb, though. If you remember Indy Hartwell from NXT, she was ditzy. She was ditzy and dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know if that's their way of doing it here.
Right.
Her acting all befuddled and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I can really justify it, because otherwise, you're right. The continuity between Michaels and Triple H is... it's been there for the most part.
Yeah,
why change the small little detail all of a sudden out of nowhere? So I don't get this. But you're right, though. Candice LeRae, she's slowly but surely becoming a heel, and it's good. We've been asking for some development with some characters for a long time, and people kill me, right? Because they want people to develop these personas. Bless you.
Thank you.
They want them to develop these personas and shit like that on television, but don't give them the time or the space to do it. And then they whine because, oh, it's boring, or it's taking too long, or this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, like, you can't have it both ways. Rome was not built in one night. You can't rush something good in one night and expect it to be good.
Yeah.
That happens every once in a while. You can get lucky. But, I'm good with all this, though. Candice LeRae, I mean, obviously Indy Hartwell is gonna wind up being a heel with her, so
yeah, right.
So yeah, I got no problems with it.
Right,
but
I'm not too sure if that big segment happened right after this, or if there was another tag. No, the tag match came later. The tag match and Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed came later, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know what happened. Andrade fought Giovanni Vinci. That's what happened.
No. Actually, the tag match was first.
Oh, it did. Yeah. Oh, it was. Okay. So I was right originally. Damn. See, yeah, at least fun. Hey, listen, people. At least I remembered. That's how you know Raw was good. I remembered the match, every matchup and everything. All right, that's how you know it was fucking good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tag match. It was with the New Day versus DIY. No. Yeah, and they were talking. They were making jokes at each other backstage. They were going back and forth. I loved it. And then here you go.
What is so new about the New Day?
What is so new about the New Day? And then Kofi was like, DIY, like, this is stupid. Like, yo,
channel? You guys a channel now?
Bro, his faces, like, yo, that shit was mad funny. Then Awesome Truth comes out, and he's like, yo, this is crazy. New Day versus DX. And then Kofi and everyone goes, oh, no. Like... Bro, yo, Xavier Woods and Kofi put their hands in their face like, oh my god, no, not this. And then Miz is like, don't worry guys, I got it. I love, son, why couldn't you do this shit with Miz a long time ago, people? And RJ, why? Being funny, yeah, it works. The nigga's funny, he's funny. And, you know, the running gag every week, don't worry about it guys, I got this. But he don't. he never does. It's so funny. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. Talk y'all shit about the Miz wrestling in work, he put bare minimum, this, that. I don't care, man.
I don't know if he can even say that anymore though.
Yeah, cause he be balling now. He be balling now.
Miz and Gunther had a nice match in Survivor Series, and the one they had after that.
I think both their matches were dope. Word, yeah, both their matches was good. Hell yeah.
Miz has been trying to put in work, bro. I'm not mad at the Miz.
Yeah,
the Miz is who he is, but you can't sit up here and deny that the Miz has been trying extra hard in the ring to keep up with the other guys to do his part. And that's what a team should do.
And he's the perfect role player you want on your paid roster, for real. Bro, he's funny. My man was like, he's trying to talk to R-Truth. R-Truth mad confused, and the Miz is just like, the Miz is just like, oh, like, whatever, bro. Like, yo, that shit was funny, bro. That match happened, but that match got stopped because Judgment Day came out and jumped. Everybody, Damian Priest.
Everybody's
was,
ass.
Son, Damian Priest was not with it tonight, people. I don't know. He was sick.
Just Storm already lost?
That's what it was.
He already lost.
Because he told him, they had a segment, people, and Damian Priest was telling him, you gotta take care of Ricochet, like, he was not playing. So he was sick, so he was fucking everybody up. And then R-Truth was like, nah, guys, I'm off today, I'm doing commentary, yo, commercial, go to commercial break. They didn't go to shit, and he got his ass fucked up, he got jumped.
But no, he was rolling though before he went down.
He was fighting back.
You know what I noticed though?
Huh.
Well, I really didn't notice it, but somebody pointed it out to me. That ever since they brought R-Truth back underneath Triple H, we've noticed a difference. See, before underneath Vince McMahon, R-Truth was just an idiot. He was an idiot, they got his ass whooped, that was that. But now he seems like an idiot savant, if you will.
Yes.
He's fucking maybe even borderline playing everybody just to play everybody. But the fact is that he was fighting back and he was whooping up on him until Damian Priest caught him.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right. I think he plays dumb on purpose to get what he wants.
Psychologically.
Yes. It's smart. But that makes sense though, because I can see that. I can see why you say that. So no. I think it's just the way that
Triple H is booking him versus
Vince. I totally agree. That's it. That is how it looks. No, I totally agree with you. You're right.
Yeah, Judgment Day was whooping some ass, man. And they kind of needed that. They needed that.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Then Andrade and Giovanni Vinci had a match.
My boy Andrade.
El Idolo, look at me.
Yo, Andrade, tell your wife, tell somebody to drop the theme song on Spotify now.
His wife?
Yeah, Charlotte. Charlotte got some pull.
Charlotte in production now?
she got pull, bruh. 15-time champ. She ain't got no pull. She can make this shit happen. She got him back. Yeah, I know that.
That is true.
I know that. She got his ass back. So I know that shit. They could get his. She could get his theme song on that shit. I like that shit. I don't know why people don't like it. That shit is hard.
People romanticize about black and gold so fucking much.
No, 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 no. This is way better. I'm being so honest. Yeah. His look, the music. The music makes him sound like a Mexican superhero. That shit is hard. I don't even, like, what? Like, yes, he's a lucha, but he's not. Like, it's, I fucks with this Andrade. And I wouldn't mind if he tried to lure Dom away from Judgment Day. I would not mind. And Dom somehow ends up becoming light or whatever. I don't know, but
I don't even know what's happening at this point.
I don't know, RJ. No, you can't say that, though, bro, because on commentary, they were talking about what I was talking about. On commentary, they were mentioning the shit I was telling you about. They were talking about how Dom fucks with Andrade. They were talking about it on commentary during Andrade's match.
I know that, but they fucking... he helped Santos on Friday. And it leaves me to think that they're going to be doing a tag match. Santos and Dom versus Rey and Andrade.
No, why do that? That don't make sense, though. Because Andrade fucks with Dom.
Yeah, but you would think that Andrade would fuck with Rey, too.
But no, but RJ, they have history.
They never
fucked with each other back then.
But Andrade's whole thing now is about respect, El Idolo, respect. So it's like, okay. So, and Andrade's a baby face now. He's a baby face.
I know. It's just the way.
Respecto. Like that. No, that's been his thing. That's been his thing. Oh, man. I wouldn't even try to be funny either.
I'm crying. I swear to God. I'm crying. No, it's just funny because, like, he tries so hard to speak English, and I give him all the credit because it don't sound bad. And he, this is all I wanted from the motherfucker. Like,
yeah, before, yeah.
Yeah, just talk English, bro. I don't know why you being such an egotistical fuck. It made no sense. Yeah. But I guess he saw Santos. He was like, damn, I should just talk. I'll get more TV time. Like, yes, bro. Yes, yeah, you had to do.
That's all you had to do.
Like, oh my God, you just fucking realizing it, bro? Like, even in AEW, you wasn't even talking English, and they didn't put you on TV too, so come on, bro.
How you know?
Okay, how you know? I was just like, oh my, Andrade, God damn.
At least Roosh look angry when he be talking.
Yeah.
I'm good, son. I'm not trying to see Roosh.
I don't want to fight Roosh. Nah.
Me neither. Me neither.
After that match, I saw. I forgot who he fucked up. Jungle Boy. Yeah. No, boy. He fucked him up.
And grabbed his balls. That's bad. That's some prison shit.
Yeah. That means he had no respect for Jungle Boy.
None. That's welcome to my cell block, bitch.
What?
That's what that was.
Word. You my boy now.
Yeah, bitch. Pedro. Pussy. Puto. You a bitch.
But nah, man. That Andrade match was good. Vinci balled the fuck out, man.
Oh my God. Their first match, too.
It was 1v1 ever?
Yeah.
I like that little international match going on. Mexico versus Italy.
Yeah, that was nice.
I like it. I don't know, people. Yeah, I know people probably are complaining too. He not doing much, but I love Andrade.
He's evolved or something.
Right. I love the guy.
And either it's gonna stir around Mania or it's gonna stir after Mania.
Like, I'm not gonna hold you. Yeah. Would I mind a mid card title run for Andrade? Yes, absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Like, if Gunther was an IC champion right now, he'd be my choice.
Oh, absolutely. Hell
off
yeah.
Off the top of my dome, either him or Kaiser. Him or Kaiser off the top of my dome.
just his promos, like, now that he speaks English, so I'm gonna try to make you laugh, but I probably won't. Oh, so you think you could face me? Okay. That's it. Okay, that's it. Okay, see you in the ring. I'm like, all right, that's it. That's all you gotta say. I bet. And then he just fucks you up. Bet. That's all Andrade need to do.
No. He's gonna cut it rock style. I'm going to fuck you up tonight.
Yo, but nah, man. I
fuck up. El Idolo.
Bro, when they showed up like the little like match thing on the bottom and it said up next and it had him and Vincey, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, shit. It wasn't too bad.
Nah, he killed him with that fucking elbow though. That back elbow, and then he hit him with his new finish. He's calling the message. Message.
Oh
my god.
Oh, he violated.
Bro, he spinned him around and dropped him on his bean, bro.
He's nice, bro. I'm telling you. And it's the whole look, the music. I'm fucking with this. I'm fucking with this return for Andrade. Deadass. Yeah. Deadass. Deadass. And then what happened after this? Then it was the big segment, correct?
Nah, we passed the segments at this point. We might as well just go back and talk about them later on.
Oh, shit, we did. All right, yeah, we talk about the matches. We can talk about the matches. I don't mind.
Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed had their match.
Yes, sir.
Gunther played a role in it. Mental games. They planted the seeds earlier for mental games. And Bronson Reed beat him. He beat him in a nice matchup. Tsunami.
He did. And then they had a backstage segment.
I'm cool with this too because people was bitching. Oh, why are you gonna have him beat Sammy? At least there was a good reason for him to beat Sammy. For two reasons, right? Okay, Monty. Here's reason number one for sure though. Gunther planted the seeds of doubt and. Sammy's head playing up to the fact that Gunther just ain't gonna beat you physically. He could beat you mentally too if you let him. So I like that. And then second of all, let's just say if Sami Zayn does win the Intercontinental Championship, Bronson Reed got beef. I'm just saying, that's another opponent for Sammy to fight if he wins the belt.
Bronson?
I mean, Bronson Reed have a title match and it not feel random.
Yeah, that's true.
I beat you before you won the motherfucker. So yeah, I got no issues with that at all. And afterwards, Chad Gable said that he was gonna coach Sami Zayn pretty much and telling him that he needs to have a different approach going into Mania. So
word.
So that's something to watch out for. Then the main event, Nakamura Jey Uso.
I didn't even. This is the one match I really didn't even care about.
Well, to be quite honest with you, WWE really didn't care about it either because just as much as it started, it ended it just all in one set.
Right. And,
Jey Uso fucking super kicked him and fucking killed him with a spear and it was over. And then fucking Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa tried to, you know, pounce, but Cody and Seth are right there.
Yeah, that
was
dope.
Fighting. They're all fighting and shit like that.
Yeah,
and
that
all
was
of a
dope.
Sudden, The Rock, if you smell, look at the time. Rock comes out of nowhere and starts whooping Cody's ass all over the place. Look at you now. Boy, look at you now. He said it like at least 20 times.
He called him boy.
He busted him open.
He took his head and slammed it on his own bus. That's disrespectful. In the rain. You got your ass beat in the rain, son. Pouring rain on your own bus. Nah, son. No.
And what he said, what The Rock said, hard times. You don't know about hard times. But guess what? The Rock's gonna learn you. I'm gonna learn you about hard times. This is what happens when you fuck with the final boss.
Boom. I was like, oh shit, son.
But you heard the crowd,
they were like, oh my god. No way.
It's Chicago, you can get away with it.
But it's so crazy though. In 2 weeks, we've heard little dick and fuck.
Get away with it.
Huh?
Alright.
That's just crazy.
Fantastical.
Crazy. That's just crazy.
And now it's that The Rock spit at him too.
Yeah, he spit right in front of him. That's fucked up.
That's old.
Oh, damn. Shit. He's OD'd, son. Yeah, people forget how disrespectful Rock was as a bad guy.
Not even just this, but it's like, okay, we're going somewhere with this.
Yeah, he's OD'ing. Yeah, he's OD'ing.
We got some heat on this fucking match.
OD, he fucking spit in his face, took his blood and put it on the Mama Rhodes belt. He made a Mama Rhodes belt with his Brahma Bull logo. That's so disrespectful. Nah, son, nah.
Oh my
god, that's OD disrespectful. And but it's so, but all this makes it's all beautiful because it's like, I don't want to bring him up, but The Rock is not like blank, because The Rock, when he's in his authority role, he's showing that he's not just gonna talk it, he's gonna actually do everything he says. Yeah. Like when blank did it, he was cowering and he had a bunch of henchmen fighting in front of him, Shane was fighting and shit like that, totally different. So like, this shit was just, to me, it's like, oh man, like, he's the boss, so it's like, if he's gonna say he's gonna do something, this is just living proof he's gonna really do it. Cause like, he been saying that he was gonna put his blood on a belt. He ain't lying. He been saying that shit, and then he's been talking about how he's gonna beat the shit out of you and make you bleed in front of me, like in front of your mom, and he did it. So it's did like it. Fuck. It's like, fuck, son. I'm gonna do what he said before. He tells me he gonna fuck me up at this certain time. And best believe, he probably gonna be there a minute earlier. Fuck.
Oh, definitely. So but yeah, like, that closed it out though. But that put a lot of heat on the match. And now I'm at the point, don't know about you, but I'm at the point where I wanna see Cody versus Rock. Roman Reigns feels like a non-motherfucking factor.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold you. I'm not gonna hold you.
To quote Evelyn from Basketball Wives, like 10 years ago.
I definitely want Rock and Cody at SummerSlam. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah. And honestly, I still want our original plan to go down with Roman. I want him to face Braun Breaker at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I want him to face Braun Breaker. I want Braun Breaker to whoop his fucking ass when he's at his most vulnerable, the night after WrestleMania.
I'm telling you.
All you hear is, it's over. Like, oh, fuck. Like, then you see Roman, you know how Roman plays his, Roman does emotional work really good. You could just see like him hear the music, him look, and him like close his eyes and go, oh, fuck. Like, yup.
Who the hell is this guy?
Like, it's over for you. Oh, yeah, he goes, who the hell is this guy? And he gets fucked up.
Braun Breaker, spear. Oh, my God, he cut him in half.
Oh, my God. That shit would be crazy.
Paul Heyman, my new client, Braun Breaker.
Yep, that's it.
Shit.
That'd be perfect. That's perfect. Everybody cheering. Everybody doing it. Like, finally, somebody's going to take him out. Somebody's going to take out Roman.
That's crazy. That'd be crazy.
I guess
we'll see what happens though. Yeah, I ain't gonna get myself too hyped up just in case it don't happen.
Word, that's so true.
So I'll be disappointed.
Word, because I don't think that's gonna happen.
Nah, but I do think they did try Braun Breaker out with Paul Heyman for a reason though.
Word, I definitely agree with you on that.
But yeah, the segment we skipped earlier was the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins promo exchange.
Yes.
I thought that was really good. It felt like they were all three of them were shooting off the hip, and it was good shit.
I really loved it. It was probably my favorite. It was probably my personal favorite moment of the night. I can't believe it got 2.2 million views. That shit was crazy. It was the highest watched like part of Raw, and I mean I don't blame it. It was really good. CM Punk came out and talking, saying that he'll be at WrestleMania, and that he was hoping to be commentator. Commentator for the match. And Drew McIntyre came out and they started talking shit, son. Like, oh my god. Man said, get your bitch ass down here to the ring. And Drew was like, as much as I want to be in the ring, you've inspired me, yada, yada, yada. And CM Punk is like, man, I don't want to hear none of that until you say when you're in the ring. And this. Then Drew was like, I'm the chosen one. And then CM Punk was like, oh, yeah? By who? What was his name? Yo, that shit was funny. He was like, see his name. Yo, Drew McIntyre was smiling. Oh, D.
Like, oh. Tell me which Farragon of good virtues chose you.
Yo, he was OD'ing. That shit was good. And Seth Rollins came out. And nigga said, yeah, this is Monday Night Rollins here. Now we establish whose show this is. And then CM Punk was like, yeah, this could be your show, but this is my city. Everybody started chanting. That shit was hard. Like, I just love how everybody in this, they all have beef with each other. Yep. Nobody likes nobody. Like, I love that shit. I love it.
This is a potential SummerSlam main event.
Or the triple threat?
Yeah, these two. These three.
Oh, D, they have beefs, and they got beef. No. Like, Punk don't, I don't even know something like this. Like, in real, like, Punk don't fuck with Drew. Drew don't fuck with Punk. Drew can't stand Seth. And Punk can't stand Seth and Drew. Actually, I don't even think Seth even cares about Drew now. Honestly. He beat him so much, he's probably annoyed by him, if anything. But
I hate you, Punk.
Yeah, he hates Punk, though. He hates Punk.
I hate you too, Seth.
Shit was crazy.
You bitch ass nigga.
That shit was crazy. That whole segment was good. I enjoyed it. What about you?
Nah, it was a good segment. They was off the cuff. It felt like they were not handcuffed. They went out there and they did that thing. All three of them went out there and cut convincing interviews, or not interviews, but promos on each other. And it was fun. It was a fun exchange. Drew McIntyre lounging out over there by the commentary desk, being a prick. That was great. Rollins wearing bell bottoms in 2024 was interesting. And Punk, you know, doing his thing, feeding off Chicago. It was fun. It was fun shit. Yeah. And Punk will be calling that match at WrestleMania. So
I wish he was a special guest referee.
Not going to be cleared.
Oh, so yeah.
You got to slide. You got to get in position. You got to, you know, they don't want to risk that. And you don't want to risk that.
Right.
If you see a Punk, you're 45 years old, you don't want to risk it too much. Like you can understand the passion of him wanting to be there, but it's like, nah, you gotta let that bad boy heal, bro. Especially since you're 45 years old or whatever. You gotta let that shit heal. So, yeah. That was fine. Seth got, McIntyre got in the ring. Seth super kicked him. And he killed him with a curb stomp.
Fucked him up. And then walked out and just grilled Punk. And then walked. No, actually, he didn't grill Punk. He just walked right by him.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And then Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, and Dominic Mysterio was out for a segment, too.
So,
I thought that was fine. I thought it was some of the better stuff that they had to help build up this match. Try to add a little spice. It got spicy when Rhea brought up Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins' daughter. And then Becky Lynch went on an emotional tirade about her father and never getting a chance to meet her daughter and stuff like that. And so, yeah, like it got really heated. Becky fucking got Dom really good in the jaw. I mean, she rocked him.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, Triple H style. When Triple H sucker punched Kurt Angle that one time on Raw a few years back.
Oh my God, rocked shit.
Bro, it was the same thing with Dom and Becky.
Why did Triple H punch Kurt Angle that time?
Because he was sick of his shit. Remember, Kurt Angle was dry snitching on him, remember?
Oh, yeah.
But he's pretty much like, oh, yeah, when Ronda Rousey, we're going to stick the bitch or something like that. And then, yeah, he was pretty much dry snitching at Triple H. Like, oh, fuck this guy. And bam, I dropped him.
He rocked this shit.
He rocked him. That shit was funny, too, because Kurt Angle sold that shit. He sold that shit like death, like it just came out of total nowhere, too. So it was great. But Dominic, same thing here. And Rhea and Becky was trying to get at each other before they got broken up. So, fine. Yeah, that's cool. Fine. Now let's do something. We got to do a little something to heat this up a little more. And that was pretty much it for Raw.
Yeah, that was it. Raw was really good.
Yeah, I thought Raw was really good too. I thought they built to WrestleMania. That closing angle, we need more of that on TV. Not just with the main event guys, but with some mid-card guys too. Like, that's my problem with these shows too, is not, there's not a lot going on. It's just wrestling and that's it. Like, give me something else to help build an angle. Have Bronson have Bronson Reed wild out in the back. Have him destroy people backstage. That can only help his aura as a big guy monster. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. Have Chad Gable do skits trying to plead his case for an Intercontinental Championship match or some shit like that. Like, help build characters so that by the time you shove them out there for the match, people can react to them in a certain way or accordingly. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So,
that's just me. But then we had NXT last night. Booker T and Vic Joseph won commentary. First matchup right out of the gate, Dijak versus Sean Spears.
Yeah.
Monty, what'd you think?
This match was good, man. I think I had on USA for like the first ad. No, I had on Simpsons before NXT. And I saw it was like 7:59. I was like, oh shit, I gotta change this shit real quick. And as soon as I changed it, it went on NXT and Dijak's entrance showed, and I was like, oh, this is a perfect way to start NXT. And then he was fighting Sean Spears, and this match went on for a while. I think it's probably the longest match of the night, but it was really good. I'm not gonna lie.
They got 13 minutes to go out there and show what they could do.
Yeah, it was really fun. I'm not gonna lie. That match was really good. And, Dijak got the win, and Joe Gacy dicked Sean Spears by taking his steel chair. So Dijak is really good, man. They're both, honestly, Sean Spears showed that he can still hang with them, even though he's pretty old. But these guys,
Sean Spears is not bad. Like, cause I know I went off on him a couple of weeks ago, but I never once said that he wasn't good in the ring.
That's facts.
He's damn good.
You did not say that. That's right.
And I tell people all the time, Sean Spears. In fact, when I used to go to a lot of NXT live shows, Sean Spears as Ty Dillinger was the guy that probably had the most matches of the night. You know, so it's just all the hype surrounding his return just irks me. So I just want to remind people of that.
I feel you.
I'm not ripping on him as a talent. I'm ripping on him for, you know, just this. The more of Shawn Michaels more than anything.
Yeah, because you know, the way he's doing this.
Super return, and it's Sean Spears, a guy who's failed everywhere he's been at, not on any volition of his own, but it's just the, you know, booking and stuff like that, obviously. But he's seen as a failure. Didn't cut it in AEW, didn't cut it in WWE, ECW. He didn't cut it in fucking NXT when he was here the last time. So it's just, why would I have faith on a guy who's a career loser for the most part? So that's my thing. But Dijak. Let me tell you something, Monty. I don't know if you noticed, but between last week and this week, Dijak's been getting a lot of cheers.
Yeah, I know. I know he does. It's crazy. That push Dijak chick's really going. It's really going strong. So, I'm hoping it leads to something. Well, it did lead to something, but that happens later on in the show, because that happens after Josh Briggs' matchup.
But let me ask you this. What do you think about this Gacy Spears thing?
I don't care. There's two things...
You took the words right out of my fucking mouth.
Yeah, man, I don't care. There's two things on NXT, I think, consistently now that HBK just... I think he's doing it to troll me, and I wish I'd smack the shit out of him to make his eyes straight because of it. It's just fucking annoying. It's the Sean Spears and Joe Gacy shit, and it's this Rich Holland bullshit. Like, I'm so sorry, bro. With no disrespect, I don't give a fuck, son. I don't give a shit. And he's bum. I don't care about this shit. Retire, like, this whole story. I don't care. You're wasting time on a 2-hour show. No matter what, if you're telling a story or not, because you are. You're trying to tell a really compelling story about a wrestler that genuinely nobody doesn't care about. Like, that's the only problem. That's your downfall. You put a lot of thought and effort into a story about someone the fans don't care about. I just don't understand how he's not seeing the second part. That's my problem, and he's just wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm not getting it either. Like, I don't get the fascination with Rich Holland.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just don't get it. Like, at least Sean Spears, when I defend him here again, at least Sean Spears can bring something to the table. And so will somebody else we'll bring up too a little bit. But what is this guy bringing to the table? Nobody really cares about this guy. He doesn't get any type of reaction. It's more of an indifference when he's out there. Like, nobody cares. Like, I don't think anybody has a vested interest in this guy. So,
yeah.
We might as well just get into it while we're talking about it. But Rich Holland pretty much came out and said he'll be stepping away from in-ring competition effective immediately. So, not retiring, but stepping away from competition, just to make that clear.
And they put him on the alumni. Like, I don't give a shit. This is a waste of time. He wasted his time on the segment. It got me tight.
Yeah, because unless he comes back as... I don't even care if he comes back as a monster heel, but what are you going to do with this guy that's compelling? Because on his own, he's a big block of wood.
Word.
Like, say what you want about Dijak, but at least Dijak's got something. He's got aura. He can work. He's got a gimmick, and he's committed to the gimmick. Obafemi's a freak, and he's committed to being a freak, and the crowd loves him. And then you got Big Briggs, who's a fucking monster. You know what I'm saying? He's a fucking monster ass beaten country dude. So, like, these guys have something to them. Whereas Rich Holland's just a big old block of wood. Like, there's nothing there. And he couple that with the fact that he's not very good. Unlike Femi already, Femi surpassed him already.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, Dijak and Josh Briggs been on the indies and shit like that. So, like, both those guys better know how to work, you know?
And Josh Briggs broke out last year on NXT. Like, he started getting more shine. Hence why he's solo and getting more TV time than Brooks Jensen. Like, it shows. Like, he's shown a lot of promise, like, so far. So...
like I said, Son's been wrestling for like 4 or 5 years before he got to NXT. I would like to hope that he's got some skills in the bag already.
Like, he better have
some skills in that bag already. You can't be wrestling for Gabe Sapolsky and be a bum.
Word. I feel that.
One thing I'll say about Gabe Sapolsky, he's not going to put on just anybody. If you wrestle for Gabe Sapolsky, you better be damn good in that motherfucking ring, especially for a big guy. Because Gabe Sapolsky was one of the guys that was putting on smaller guys for the most part. You know, like the Low Keys and the Packs and the Ricochets and Tozawas and Apollo Crews. Like, he's responsible for that, pretty much, that whole field. Johnny Gargano and...
yeah.
Chuck Taylor and fucking Rich Swann. Like, he's responsible for that. All those guys, he gave those guys their big breaks. So... well, not big breaks, but that first breaks, I guess you could say. But yeah, like, I would hope that Briggs has it together, which he does. So, next match was actually Roxanne Perez cut a promo saying that she was disgusted about how she used to act and. Now she's all about herself. She's not about the fans. She's ready to take the women's championship from Lyra Valkyria at Stand and Deliver. She says she doesn't dislike Valkyria, but it's all about the championships. So, okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Short, to the point. I'm good with that. Next up, we had Miss Thea Hale versus Jasmine Nix. Oh, by the way, what'd you think about the promo?
Oh, Roxanne's? Yeah, it was good. It's straight to the point. And they show part one of the Trick and Mello shit too.
That was later on.
Oh, it was. Oh, okay. Yeah. This matchup I didn't really care about. I really didn't give a shit about. I don't really care about none of this whole feud. So.
Monty meant to say is he don't care about none of these hoes.
I mean, honestly, the way JCJ. Okay. I said it last week. It feels like a short skit of Mean Girls, and that's what JC Jane, like, they're telling a story. I'll give them that. They are telling the story. I don't care. Like, I don't care about a bunch of. I don't want to say this because I don't want fans getting mad, but fuck it. I really don't care. I don't care about a bunch of bitches, like, going at it with each other about, like, stupid shit. Like, then that's exactly why I feel like that's what they're doing. And JC Jane, and, like, you're right. The way JC Jane looks and the way Jasmine Nix is with her, and they have, I think they have another girl or some shit. They look like a, I'm, I'm sorry, people. No disrespect. They look like a bunch of fucking... They do. They look like a bunch of hoes. What you want me to say? They do. They do. And I don't like that shit. I really don't like that shit. So I didn't care about none of it.
I'm going to tell you right here, right now, that Jasmine Nix was looking extra spicy last night. My God, you heard Booker T? Vic said you can't stop looking at her.
I don't know what was worse. That or when Lola Vice was talking right after this, and then Booker T mid promo goes, oh yes. Like, Booker, shut up. Like, oh my God, my man's thirsty on commentary. That's terrible, son. Terrible.
You got a 50-something-year-old man out there with all that ass on over the show. What is he supposed to do?
Yo, that shit was funny. Yo, he said, oh, yes, mid-promo while she was in her promo. I'm like, yo, Book. Yo, I know Vic Joseph was dying laughing.
Oh, yeah. Vic, no, he better be on his best behavior.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look, hey, at least this match wasn't that long. It was only, like, 3 minutes. Thea Hale won with the Kimura. Jasmine Nix, you know, the moves she hit, they were nice executed moves, so I'll give her that. But we got to see a little bit more before we make a judgment on her. But yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine for what it was. Thea Hale pretty much broke Jasmine Nix's arm. Pretty much broke her arm, snapped it, whatever. The Kimura. And then JC Jane came in. They were brawling for a good bit. Kiana James and Izzy Dane came in for the save, but Fallon Henley and Kalani Jordan came out to even it up. So that's probably a six-woman tag match for Standard Deliver, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Shawn Michaels, if you're listening, you googly-eyed bastard, make this a tornado. Make this a tornado Philly street fight.
Might as well.
Let these girls wild out.
It's gonna be a Philly. Why not?
Why the fuck not? Just saying. And then we got the video package on Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was so cool. CM Punk, Randy Orton, Booker T all talking about the feud, making it feel that important. And I just like that because it just shows that, God damn, you got CM Punk and Randy Orton talking about your feud. Like, that's what I like.
Especially Randy Orton.
Like, where did he come from? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I'm hearing the voice. Yo, I'm hearing the voice, RJ, and I'm like, no way. And then they show his face. I'm like, son, it was him the whole time. Like, why is he talking about it? And then they show CM Punk. And I'm just like, oh, this is awesome, bro. Man, like,
that doesn't really surprise me. That doesn't surprise me now, because Punk's been involved with, like, NXT ever since he got back.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, I just like that they have, like, top names like Orton, Punk, Booker T's talking about, but he's there. It's just, like, I like that the perception they're trying to put is, like, even the top stars are invested in this feud. So, I'm believing, like, you should be, too. Like, that's what I feel like. I like this shit.
Like you said,
what were you talking to me earlier about this off air? Promotional, like, you gotta promote, make these people want to see the fight, and that's a perfect example of doing it by having your top stars showing their own interest in this feud, and that's gonna make the fans want to watch it too. Like, damn, Randy's into this shit too. Damn, it must be good if they got his attention. Like, I don't know, I like that shit a lot. It was good.
Yeah, definitely. No, I very dope shit. And this is gonna be. I think this is gonna be the main event over Tony D and Ilya Dragunov.
I think it should.
I think it should too. I think there's a little bit more blood on that feud, even though they tried to spice up that Tony D and Dragunov feud. We'll get to that later on. But Lola Vice came out, as we mentioned earlier. She called out anybody in the back to fight her. Natty came out, and I love Booker T's response. Why is she dressed like that?
My man's in Juicy Crosses on air, bro. That shit was funny.
She's a wrestler, Buck.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, what did you think?
Booker T.
Like, I guess he wasn't expecting how to come down there to wrestle, but like that shit was funny, son.
You're not here dressed like that.
I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? What is she supposed to wear?
I have no idea, but
I was mad confused.
But they had a match. They had a match, and
I have one gripe about this shit.
All right, go ahead.
Lola Vice was talking shit on the mic. I set an open challenge. Nobody want to accept it. Somebody better accept it so I could put their ass to sleep. Natty comes out. First 5 minutes in the match, she's carrying away. Bitch! You were just talking about how you were ready to put somebody to sleep. Now you're running away? Bitch! Like...
Well, Natty's a veteran.
Still!
I guess she was suspecting...
Somebody from NXT.
Somebody from NXT to show up and blow up. Not a main roster veteran.
Word.
You know, who's been wrestling pretty much all her life. You know.
Word. She's been in WWE for like 10 plus years now, like 15 years now.
Yeah, something like that, and been wrestling even longer. So like, I mean, her being cowering away and shit like that that's fine. And also, Lola Vice is a heel at the end of the day too. Not all heels can talk shit and then back it up.
Word. Yeah.
You know, being a part of being a heel is being dishonest. Being a dishonest. Like when I was, and look, I know it's totally different, but when I was cosplaying as a heel in my early Raven King days, when I was the champion in WEW, I had them purposely write all my finishes that I cheated in the end every time. Because yes, I'm talking to you in slow biblical terms and shit like that, and I'm threatening you. But at the same time, I'm not going to do anything that I said I was going to do to you. I'm going to cheat. Like, because that's what heels do. Heels lie, they cheat, and unfortunately, they steal. Eddie Guerrero was onto something, you know?
Right.
But he's not wrong. So, but yeah, heels are supposed to be dishonest and cowardly. So, and then just Natty being a vet, like, it just made more sense to me. But, yeah. But I thought Lola Vice hung in there with her. I thought she hung in there with her. I thought Carmen Petrovic, I guess they're going to do something with her and Natty together or something. Which, look, hey, yeah. I have no problems with this whatsoever. Natty being the NXT period in general.
Yeah.
To me, this is her future. This is her future.
Yeah.
Honestly, after in-ring days are over, I think she's a PC coach.
Yeah, I agree.
So why not get a little let's get a little acclimated to the job right now. I guess that's what Natty's doing down in the NXT.
And
let's see. Let's see what happens. You said something interesting earlier about Natty being in NXT. Take it away.
Oh yeah. Listen. I don't was anybody complaining about this?
People were a little upset. Oh, why do you have Natty come down there and beat Lola Vice? But this is good. Lola Vice needs something to do. She needs something to do. And if you're going to do a program with her and Natty, Natty got to take the first win, right? That way, Lola Vice can build up some character, have more hatred, maybe a little less ass shaking, maybe a little less arrogance.
Word.
And she takes Natty seriously. And that's character progression right there.
Right.
So, I got no problems with that.
And, see, for me, it's just, she wasn't doing anything on Raw. Like, they showed her Raw icon for her name yesterday. I'm just like, and I was like, I haven't seen her on Raw in that long. I think there was, like, one women's tag team qualifier, and she was with Tegan Nox, and that was, like, months ago. But ever since that, you haven't seen her. I think she was in the Royal Rumble, but it was brief. So it was like, she hasn't been doing anything. So I don't mind having someone like that in NXT for the women, because now if she stays there for a bit, now she can just, like you said, she can work with all the green girls and make them better in ring. Like, yeah, Natalya may be old and stuff, but she's a vet in the ring. So it's just, she can always get them all up to speed. And me personally, if they call up a lot of these girls, because they have at least, I want to say at least 4 or 5 girls on NXT right now that could be called up and not have a problem on the main roster. I don't know if you agree with that, but we talked about it a little bit. There's Roxanne, There's Kiana James. There's Fallon Henley. There's Blair Davenport. And
those are big four to me that's ready.
Yeah, those four girls are already primed and ready. So say if one day Trips wants to call them up and spread them out on both rosters, because I feel like SmackDown needs more women, because
I think Raw needs more women more than anything, because I think
a lot of the girls they have
are crickets.
I see a lot of the same women on Raw too, now that you mention it, and it may be because they don't have money. Yeah, that's possible. Because Caden Carter and Katana Chance are always on TV. So is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell now. Ivy Niles always on, and Maxine Dupree. That's it.
Yeah.
And Nia Jackson, Becky Lynch, Rhea. But those are three top three that are like popular.
Yeah, top three girls that get reactions and shit.
Right, right.
And exactly. you got Liv Morgan in there too. To her credit.
Did you really just say that to me?
At least Liv Morgan gets a reaction. She gets a reaction. Liv Morgan does what she has to do. I ain't hating on her.
I'll take poor Raquel Rodriguez over her. I hope she gets better soon, because that's fucked up. I don't know what happened to her.
I hope she gets better and changes her gimmick.
Yeah, that's her only problem. That's her only problem for me, showing her back muscles when Rhea Ripley has bigger back muscles than you. Raquel!
And Bianca Belair, holy shit.
Oh my God.
I went to the house show 2 weeks ago, y'all. On the 17th, and I saw Bianca Belair. I'd never seen Bianca Belair in person, right? I've never seen her in person before, because all the NXT shows I went to, because I didn't go to tapings anymore. After 2015, I didn't go to tapings anymore. And every live show I went to, Bianca Belair was never really on the card. So when I went to go see, when I went to the show a couple weeks ago, we saw Bianca Belair in person. And Logan P, you know, that's Morgan's boyfriend, he goes, "Holy fucking shit. She's really jacked." And I'm like, "You're not lying. Holy shit." Like, I couldn't believe how big she was in person. Like, yeah, TV don't do her justice. TV don't do fucking LA Knight justice either. LA Knight's fucking jacked in person. And fucking Rhea Ripley too. But we already knew that. My God. She got shoulder boulders, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's her gimmick needs to change, but I'd rather take Raquel over Liv Morgan. I'm sorry. I can't stand Liv Morgan, bro. Can't.
Yeah.
I personally just don't see the hype.
Yeah, you personally don't see the hype. I'm not on the bandwagon either, but I can't look. Hey, she gets a reaction when she comes out. She sells merchandise, and she's an asset, which is, I can't say that about the rest of the women. Besides the obvious, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. No. You're right though.
Bianca's, the Charlottes, the Baileys, and the EO Skies to a certain degree, you know? So I don't want people to get that twisted.
But if they were to call up those four girls and split them, I could see Natty being world champion at NXT. And whoever beats her for that title, they could be made, because they just beat, whether you like her or not, whether you think she's washed up or not, Natty's still a vet. Natty has mad accolades to her name to this day. None of us could take that away from her. So it's like, you're still beating a legend at that. So it'll work out for whoever comes out beating her. That's why I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I co-sign that. You know, I'm not the I'm not the Lord knows I rag on Natty, bro. And that's probably like that's the biggest reaction she's probably gotten in years. That pop she got last night on NXT.
Shit, but, I don't know. Listen, bro. Natty, I don't know about for our fans remember, but before JHGH, we used to bag on Natalya OD, bro. What?
Yeah.
Because she's still slow in the ring. What you mean?
Like, that discus
goes on mad slow. Oh my God, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's still slow, but it's still Natalya. I'm not gonna fancy nothing from her. Nah, yeah, we not the biggest fans. Yeah, people, don't get it twisted. Well, we're just looking at it as
a nice business.
Right, and for the honesty, it's
the development.
It's the greater good for these young girls, and whoever ends up beating her, it's like, hey, you know. I'm sorry. Continue.
Would you have a heel Roxanne do it though?
I would. No.
Because you know what? If Natty has the title and she beats Roxanne, she beats a, I don't know, a Lola Vice, a fucking, she beats maybe an Izzy Dame or somebody like that, a Lyra Valkyria. Honestly, I would love to see a Kiana James get the belt if they don't call her up. I would love to see that.
Yeah, and she's already building her own posse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Izzy Dame, fucking, yeah. I'm not saying no to that. I think that's a good idea. Soruka called out Blair Davenport. She wants a match with Blair Davenport. And, well, Blair Davenport accepted.
Yeah,
she compared Soruka to sand, annoying, and she can't get rid of it.
What the fuck?
So yeah, that was something. And then we had Stax versus Dragunov.
Bum.
You thought this is bum?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
I just didn't care
about this match.
Nah, man, like Mission, it was a good story match. Like, obviously, you know, Tony D'Angelo sent Stax out there to be pretty much a sacrificial lamb, but to leave a mark on Dragunov, which he did. And that was the story throughout the match. Stax took and stomped on Dragunov's hand, fucking up his fingers. And that was the starting point for him. And they was working off of that. Dragunov eventually, you know, fucking just went ballistic and unbusikbar and gave him the torpedo Moscow and fucking beat him. But yeah, no, they didn't waste no time. They went straight to work. They planted the seed for a story for the match at Stand and Deliver with the hand. And I thought this was fine. And D'Angelo family wants to invite Dragunov to the restaurant for a special moment. They're gonna whoop his ass, bro.
They're gonna fuck him up.
Dragunov better call the members of the KGB or some shit.
They're gonna jump him.
Oh, he's gonna get his ass whooped by Tony D'Angelo and his 50 family members.
They're gonna fuck him up, son.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, I thought that was fine. I thought it was effective, so I got no problems with that. The OC and the Wolf Dogs, they got into it. They won a championship match at Stand and Deliver, just those two. Before then, Braun and Baron was arguing about tanning bids and shit, so that was funny.
I love their segments together. They're funny as shit.
Yeah, definitely good shit. But yeah, I like the urgency with the OC. They really want the tag team championships, especially after losing to Theory and Waller on Friday. So I like the urgency in Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows there. Briggs and Hudson had a nice little big man match. It was like 10 minutes. Not bad from these two guys. Duke Hudson can work. You know, I know he loses a lot of matches, but I thought him and Briggs had a nice solid match there, and Briggs killed him with a clothesline and then another lariat for the win. So
yeah,
nothing.
And then they announced Obafemi announced himself. Nobody announced it. He did himself. I said, "Yeah, two titans trying to climb the mountain, but I am the mountain." I was like, "Yep, that's right." So
you are, and then, you are, son.
And they added. He said that it's gonna be a triple threat match then deliver for the title. And I love that he respects the fact that he finally has two giants that are actually nice that he gets to wrestle. So I loved it. It was nice. Probably my favorite. It was probably my favorite part of NXT. It's probably gonna be my favorite match for Stand and Deliver, to be honest with you. That, and besides the trick and Mello, but that'd probably be my favorite match of the night. I'm not gonna lie, because I love Dijak, and I'm like most people. Ever since that first breakout star match he had, I've been fucking with Obafemi. I don't know what happened to my boy Keanu Carter. I don't know what happened to him. He had that match and then disappeared.
Probably getting more seasoning.
That's my boy. I want to see him. I want to see him pop out soon too, cause he was dope too.
That's a monster, man. And
that dude was nice, boy.
And you know what they need to do? And I don't know if they can, but I know he did a couple of guest spots before. But I would call in Monty Brown to work with Keanu Carter specifically, because Monty, he did the pounce, and I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
that was great. I almost blew a load in my pants watching that.
Wow.
I love me a good pounce. Period.
Pause.
Like fucking Monty Brown used to throw that shit back in the day. No pause.
Pause. Yo. Yeah. Hey. You want to? Ladies and gents. Hey, yo.
No, I'm just kidding. But Monty Brown.
He
used to throw around the pounce. He used to kill that shit. And then they tried to give it to Mojo Rawley, but Mojo Rawley was a joke. Nobody was taking him seriously. But Keanu Carter, he did that shit that one time. He killed Riley Osborne. He should have won the match, but of course he didn't win it because, you know.
Yeah,
it's
that
NXT.
Was crazy.
It's NXT and never mind. The smaller guys have to beat the bigger guys all the time. I just keep it that way. And that was that, but yeah, I would have Monty Brown work with him, because I think if you get Monty Brown in to work with some of the bigger guys like that who move around, that are like football players, that use their power like he once did, I think that could be good for Keanu Carter. Look at Obafemi. Obafemi's looking nice, and if we can get two big black guy monsters on the roster, oof. Wait a minute, I ain't even counting Bronco, because Bronco's not really fully black, but
he's Mexican.
He's a person of color.
He's half black, half Mexican, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And I think my man Lucian Price is I think he's Nigerian too. He don't talk like it though. But
nah.
But yeah, bless you again, by the way. But Dijak, Briggs, and fucking Obafemi, I'm all for that. I said last week, we's all for that. The Metaphor is gonna host Stand and Deliver. That's fine. I got no problems with that. Something for them to do. So they'll probably get into it with somebody and probably start a little feud or something like that with somebody. So I'm cool with that. I got no problems with that. Wolf Dogs versus the Alpha Academy.
That made a minute.
They killed him, man. They killed Tozawa. They killed Otis.
Oh my god, bro. This team is so good.
Bro, they gave him a doomsday fucking crossbody, flipping crossbody. I don't know what to call that. It's like, what the fuck? That shit was crazy, bro.
They killed Tozawa. I was like, oh my god, bro. He's dead.
No, they killed Otis, dude. They put to the fucking table.
Yeah.
And then Braun Breaker, Spear Tozawa.
Oh my god, bro. He killed him.
Braun Breaker just casually murdering niggas every week on NXT.
Yo, that shit was bad. He killed him.
He killed him dead. He killed him dead. Dead in Kelsey's nuts. Dead in fucking, I mean, hopscotch on a fucking Sunday morning. Like, I mean, he killed him dead. It's crazy. But damn, really good shit. And look, they beat a main roster team. Tozawa did his shit. It wasn't a squash, but it was a showcase for the Wolf Dogs. And then after the match, the LWO, the OC, and Axiom and Nathan Frazier came out and they brawled. So I got no problems with that. We're building to that urgency. All these guys want a title shot. All those guys want to fight Braun Breaker and fucking Baron Corbin for those titles. I fucks with it. It makes the NXT Tag Team Championship seem sought after. I'm good with that. The Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin have targets on their backs. I dig that. Your championships mean something, and you're showing me that they're meaning something. Not just telling me, you're showing me they mean something.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that. I'm good. I thought NXT was fun last night.
Yeah, it was.
I thought they did a lot of shit, and the matches weren't too long, but
no,
fine. I fucks with it. There was a lot of development there. It's not just about putting on a quality match all the time, especially on TV. Give us the quality matches on pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Not every match has to be 15, 20 minutes, you know? Unless you're trying to kill time on a three-hour Raw, then I can understand that. But
development
and shit like that, to build to the pay-per-view, to add hype to the pay-per-view, do that. And I think NXT does that better than anybody else. But
yeah,
that's just me personally. But yeah, really fun NXT last night.
Yeah, I think it was. But like I said, they were both really good. I didn't have nitpick really small minor things on one.
You should get off my TV screen.
But that's about it. What happened?
Now I'm smocking you.
Why? For who?
You just in general. Bum.
Oh, Bum. I didn't have most of that. Listen, I literally remembered all of Raw. Like that's how you could tell I was really into it. I thought it was really good. Like, I'm really happy. This is what I wanted. Like for the leading up to it. I mean, WrestleMania is cutting it close, so I'm glad that they're picking up the pace. Like, and they're doing it. Like, they're ramping it up heavy. So, pause. Wow. I didn't mean it like that. But I didn't mean it like that at all. But
I mean, they got no choice. They gotta do something quick, you know?
Yeah. So I'm glad. And do you know anything going down for tonight at all?
I can pull it up real quick because I don't have any notes.
I just want to know the card. That's it.
What did you think about some of the stuff that you remember from last week, though?
I don't even think I watched last week.
Oh, you didn't watch last week? Monet cut a promo last week. I thought that was all right. At least her and Ospreay feel the need to go out there and cut promos. I'll say that. I'll give them credit for that. But
I'm sorry. I did watch that. And I didn't know Ospreay could cut a promo. I didn't know he could cut like good promos like that. I actually I don't want to say like to do, but I thought it was good, his promo. I did see that at least. I don't know if I watched any matches. No, I did not watch any matches. Because last week was when Edge won the belt again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything last week, no. Nope. Not that I think I just forgot about it. And then by the time I saw, like, people posting him winning the belt, and I was like, oh, shit. Everything's already over.
Mm-hmm. Did you see? Did you happen to see? While I pull up this card, did you happen to see Santana's interview with Chris Van Vliet yesterday?
No, he has an interview.
Yeah, he did an interview with Chris Van Vliet yesterday. It was on the YouTube channel. It was a good interview, very good interview. So that was fun. I thought it was fun stuff. He was giving some insight on his AEW run, more of a direct insight on why they chose AEW over NXT back then.
Yeah.
And how WWE didn't make it easy for them to turn them down. They even told them that they could go back.
Oh, for real?
Santana said that they even was willing to let them, you know, go back and forth to New York, back to New York so they could be with their kids. That's how badly they wanted them.
That's lit. And they said no.
And they said no because they wanted to be a part of history. They wanted to be a part of history. Yeah. They wanted to be a part of something new. And pretty much that's it. And then, you know, he asked him about the big elephant in the room, while what happened between him and Ortiz. And pretty much the same stuff that's been going around for a while now. You know, Santana felt like, you know, hey, AEW ain't doing shit with us. He wanted more for the team. Ortiz was, you know, happy where he was at, and Santana, he was tight. He didn't feel the same way. So Santana actually confirmed what I said a couple of years ago when we were starting back the shows, I told you, I was like, I heard it on good authority around the streets over there in the hood that Santana might be leaving AEW shortly. And then it didn't help the fact that every day on Twitter he was putting up the time clock.
Yeah.
Some time clock emoji shit on the timeline. Then what happened? He did the fucking match and he got hurt. Blew out his knee. So of course, you know, Tony Khan added more time to the contract, so. But yeah, he felt like they wasted the match between him and Ortiz by putting it on Rampage. And he said that it was supposed to have been spread across Rampage, Dynamite, and Collision, but it never happened, so.
Oh, yeah. So they lied to him.
I guess so.
I mean, hey, I don't blame him for leaving. He did the right move. He didn't stay.
Well, he said that, you know, Chris Van Vliet asked him his future, was he heading, and he was like, he said anything is on the table. So he's not saying no to nothing. So I guess it's up. The ball is in either WWE's court, NWA's court, Impact's court.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, it's all up to them, I guess.
But would WWE look for him, even though he's a solo wrestler?
You could do something with Santana.
Yeah.
I think you could do something with Santana. I think he could cut a good promo. He's got a good size. So he's not like this midget. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
He comes, now that he's bigger, he comes across more intimidating. I wish he would still wrestle in the jeans, not the jeans, but the fucking, like the Dickie like type pants they was wrestling in before, because I think those make him look like more of a badass instead of like the colorful tights he be wearing nowadays.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't really match him, even though it's like mostly his flags. You know, flags, bandanas, but it's like I don't know if I buy you as a badass wearing that. So if I was him, I would maybe wear cargos or maybe wear the Dickies again or something. But I think you could do something with Santana in the WWE. WWE can remember. WWE has this weird thing of sometimes they'll take the diamonds in the rough and they'll do something with those types of guys more than anything.
Yeah,
maybe, maybe Santana might be seen as a diamond in the rough that Triple H can maybe do something with. I don't know.
Yeah,
same thing with the Impact. Impact is starving for a top guy right now. You mean to tell me Mike Santana? Because I'm sorry, Nick Nemeth, as much as we all love him, Nick Nemeth is not the future of Impact Wrestling. Come on, or TNA Wrestling. He's not. And Moose for damn sure ain't it.
I don't know why they have him feuding with Steve Maclin. Like, no one cares about Steve Maclin. That's his first feud.
Especially since Steve Maclin's on his way out anyways.
Why would you give Dolph Ziggler his first feud? Like, shouldn't his first feud be with Moose? He attacked Moose. What happened to that?
I know, right?
Like, what the fuck? What was the point of that then?
I have no idea.
Like, is it because he's the champion in New Japan now? That's why they don't want to put two belts on him?
Probably, like, but Moose is probably going to beat him anyways.
That's bum.
That is. Monty, who you telling? this is me you're talking to here.
Oh, we gotta watch at least one match on fucking
Dynamite. Yeah. I got it right here. Osprey and Shibata.
Shibata, yeah, and then Takeshka versus Swerve tonight. Oh damn. What?
Yeah, so we got that. The Young Bucks versus Private Party.
Yo, bro. Oh, okay, so hold on. Let me squash the narrative I saw last week. Mm-hmm. I saw someone tweet that said AEW's women roster clears all of women's wrestling. They're bugging. Y'all tripping. That is wrong on so many levels. And AEW Dynamite's weekly wrestling show, their card, it proves it. Why? They show the same four to five women wrestlers every week. Every week.
Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, and NJ.
Yep. They show them every week.
Well, not NJ. NJ don't get TV time every week.
No.
It's Sky Blue, Julia Hart, Statlander, Nightingale.
Yes. You're right. Julia Hart.
Mercedes Moné. Yeah. Mercedes Moné now in the mix.
Right. Those girls are the only girls that get TV time every week. They sprinkle Deonna Purrazzo and fucking Thunder Rosa barely. Barely, because Thunder Rosa just started wrestling out of nowhere randomly ever since Perrazzo came out of nowhere. Like, so that's it. That's it. You mean to tell me Sky Blue Energy and Willie Nightingale is better than those four girls that we said in NXT is ready to be called to the main roster? No. Mm-mm. No. Hell no. None of those girls are better than fucking Lyra Valkyrie and Roxanne Perez. None of them.
Statlander.
Me too. Statlander's nice. Statlander's like a hybrid freakish. Okay, aside from Statlander.
Nightingale's not bad either. I've seen Nightingale have matches, bro. Nightingale can work.
Her gimmick's boo-boo.
That's her gimmick. I'm talking about her work in the ring.
She's all right. She's all right.
Big cuddly girl. That's believable. I know people like that. Like that to me, that at least that's believable. She's not doing anything that's over the top and fake, like Julia Hart rising her hand up and then all of a sudden she's got smoke coming out of their asshole. Like, I mean, at least Willow Nightingale. I buy Willow Nightingale as the big cuddly bubbly chick that you just want to bake cookies and let her braid your hair. Like I believe that. I buy that. And you know what? Willow Nightingale, I'm showing up and asking you to marry me at the next AEW show that they,
I'm weak.
I'm kidding. I kid. Oh, I kid.
A four-way match. It's Chris Daniel versus Sky Blue versus Energy versus Willow Nightingale. Four-way match for a TBS championship shot at AEW Dynasty.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What the fuck? If Sky Blue's with fucking Julia Hart, why is she in the match? Why is she in the match?
So dumb.
I don't get that.
Best Friends versus Undisputed Kingdom for the World Tag Team Championship quarterfinal.
Why is the Undisputed Kingdom in this? They're already the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, bro.
I don't know, bro.
Shouldn't they be focusing on defending those titles? Don't Ring of Honor have a big show around the corner?
Bro, most of these guys don't even show up on the Ring of Honor tapings that they make people pay for weekly. And why are you champions? Why are you the champions?
It doesn't make any sense to me personally.
I don't like that. I hate that they do that. They give the belts to people that are not on the show, that don't show up on Ring of Honor.
No. The crazy part is,
because Matt, who's the champions? Matt Taven and fucking Mike Kanellis?
Yeah.
They're not even that big of stars to be just on Dynamite only. They should be on Ring of Honor, those two guys.
Yeah, they're more Ring of Honor legends more than anything.
They should be on the show. Why are you making people pay for bum wrestlers? Like, I'm sorry to say, I do like that black dude they gave the Mike Jones song, but I'm not paying $10 to see this dude fight some random other dude. No.
And he don't have that anymore. He don't have the Mike Jones song no more.
Look at that. So come on, people. They do that all the time. When Danny, I think Danny Garcia was champion, he showed up like twice, and that was it. He wasn't even on the two. Same with Yuta. Oh no, the only person I think Yuta showed up the most on Ring of Honor, honestly.
Yuta shows up frequently on there.
Yeah, he's the only one that be on Ring of Honor a lot. But that's it. But yeah, Athena. Athena. Athena.
Athena don't even show up. Yeah, she don't even show up on Dynamite or Collision or none of the other shows.
Yeah, she's like a Ring of Honor exclusive. But that makes sense, though. She stays true to the brand.
Yeah.
Like, you have to pay to watch her.
Yeah, and that's fine. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, me neither.
And Eddie Kingston's fighting Mark Briscoe for the world title at the Supercard of Honor.
Oh my god, who cares, bro? I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, Mark Briscoe better be winning that belt. That's all I gotta say.
What belt?
The Ring of Honor World title.
Because Kingston already lost the Continental. Right?
Yeah.
He lost it to Okada. But yep.
I'm good with that.
Me too, but that's. All right, I don't want to sound like a hater on air for people. Never mind.
Go ahead. Say what you got to say. Go ahead and say it. You can't tease it. Might as well just go ahead and say it.
I feel like Okada is worth more than that Continental title, though.
Hey, if you can't put
the world title on him, at least he has a title.
At least he's got a title. And look, Okada's supposed to be this big star that we all supposed to believe that he is, right?
Word.
He's supposed to be winning championships on command, right?
Word.
And the belt's on him as opposed to Eddie Kingston. Maybe this belt will be elevated a little bit more, too. And it looked like they ain't taking the foot off the gas. Because guess who popped up in his face after he won that belt?
Pac. Brian Davis.
No, Pac.
Oh, Pac. Pac. That's right. That's
Pac,
what he
Pac
did.
Pac got in Okada's grill.
So my boy, they, Pac.
So they built it to Pac. A Pac and Okada match.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you something. That would have been way better than anything Pac and Eddie Kingston would have put on. That's for sure.
See, I just busted. Wait, what?
Hold on, Paul. Oh, time out. Hold on a second.
Oh, Pac Okada. Oh. Wait, what?
Oh, my God. Ah.
This is amazing.
It was the greatest thing ever.
How can this dwarf be so strong?
No, look at his biceps.
He is so freakishly like strong. I don't get it.
Dude, just fucking jacked the motherfucker, man.
And now that he's been acting like a douchebag ever since he like was in WWE and left, it's just been so great.
I know, right? The bastard.
The bastard is so great. I wonder if he would ever come back. Now that Triple H runs shit.
Maybe Triple H put the NXT title on him, so
he did.
He's the first ever NXT tag team champions too.
With who?
Oliver Gray. A lot of people probably don't even remember who the fuck Oliver Gray is, but
who's Oliver Gray?
Oliver Gray is he was a fairly tall English dude, pretty jacked. Not really all that special in the ring. But what happened was that Oliver Gray got hurt. He got hurt right after him and Pac won the titles. And that's when they had Corey Graves take his spot. And Corey Graves and Pac were the tag team champions for a good bit there. And they were doing the whole oddball thing where, you know, Pac was wanting to train and do this, that, and the other, with Corey Graves wanting to party and hang out with chicks and shit like that. So they was doing the oddball thing until, like, the Wyatts beat him and took the belts. And then, you know, Pac and Corey Graves had a little feud, and that's pretty much it.
So hold up. So the Oliver Gray dude won the belt with Adrian Neville, and then Oliver Gray got hurt, and they just automatically swapped him out and gave the belt to Corey Graves?
No, it wasn't that simple, because Cassius Ohno was supposed to have got it too.
Oh.
Cassius Ohno was supposed to have got that spot too, but Cassius Ohno had got hurt, and then I think they already released him at that point too. I want to say they probably already released him at that point. So yeah, that was that too, because he was supposed to have been the original replacement. But I think that's when he started to get bigger. He started to get bigger, and Triple H, from what I understand, Triple H wasn't a big fan of his wrestling.
Wasn't Cassius Ohno supposed to be in the Shield?
Yeah, that's what CM Punk wanted. Punk wanted Cassius Ohno because, you know, the Ring of Honor connection.
Yeah.
But, you know, they wanted Roman Reigns instead, which, I mean, long term, it turned out to be all for the best. Because you imagine them putting Cassius Ohno on TV, Vince is like, oh, God, this guy's he's gaining weight. You know how Vince is. And people, yeah, I'm not saying it for my own personal preference. I really don't care as long as he's healthy and he's doing the job. But Vince... And Vince's
eyes, wrestling,
the WWE was a very cosmetic business. You think he's going to put some doughy man on TV?
Yeah, next to Seth and Dean? No.
No way. No fucking way. No fucking way that was going to happen. That was never going to happen. But yeah,
he had more of a shot joining the Wyatt family than doing that.
Honestly, yeah. If he can pull off the Southern Hick voice, but maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
But that's crazy. So Corey Graves, what? He just what? Fought a match and then he earned to be the champion with Neville?
No, what happened was that the Wyatt family was stalking them.
Oh shit.
They stalked Regal. They in storyline they took out Cassius Ohno. That's what right around the time they pulled them off of TV. And then they started to do they started stalking Corey Graves too.
Yo, are these NXTs on Peacock?
Yeah, sure are. Yeah, 2013. be exact. Neville, yo, people. Adrian Neville and Oliver Gray won the tag team titles late in 2012. So around, you probably have to go around that point. And I do believe Oliver Gray got hurt. I want to say around WrestleMania 29.
And these are like these are like an hour runtime, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back when NXT was an hour.
Yeah, these are easy watches. Yeah, I'm gonna watch these once we're done here, folks. I think we're just about. I think we are done here, folks. We talked about AEW Dynamite card. There's a couple matches that I'm definitely gonna tune in tonight. Oh, for sure, hands down. You can bet your fucking. I don't even know what you want to bet, but fucking bet it.
You better bet your fucking dick and balls. Tonight's gonna be nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Because goddamn, Takeshita and Swerve.
Oh my god, I don't even know who I want to win.
Well, we know Swerve is winning, you know, that's the bad part about it. Oh, I want Takeshita to win, don't get me wrong, but see, I hate this shit, man, because Takeshita needs wins too, man. They need to stop beating this dude. Because it's like they take one step forward and then they take a whole 10 back.
Yeah, because he beat Darby and then lost two matches right after that. Why?
Yeah, who did he beat? He beat somebody on TV a couple weeks ago. And then he's about to lose the Swerve, yeah. He beat somebody on, I think it was Rampage, maybe.
And if the wins and losses count again, come on.
Yeah. Which I think they might have thrown the rankings out of the window already, because they haven't really brought them up.
Oh my, that's so they don't dumb. Work. They do. They
Tony Khan can't book around them. He can't around them.
But RJ, you know what's so dumb?
What?
The ranking system is such a lazy yet easy and effective way to play it into stories.
It is, but Tony Khan has no interest in that, especially when he wants to put on the best matches possible to try to.
Yeah, he's so annoying. He's such a fucking dweeb.
That's our dweeb, damn it.
He's such a nerdy fuck. It's so annoying.
Tony Khan.
And I want to close it off by saying one more thing too, people. For those of you fuckers who care about these rating bullshits and like the cage match shits, Raw was rated the highest cage match wrestling event in history. Ever.
This week?
Yes.
Wow. Would you look at that shit?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All those AEW marks and shit that be fucking the weird cult fans and shit like that. Yeah, how about you take your own medicine and fucking think about it to yourselves? Even Cage Match thought that shit was the best. Like, that's crazy. I wouldn't say it. I didn't think that Raw was the best, but to them they did. Like, I didn't think so. To them they did. That's crazy. So for all those people that be fiending for those shits, that use those shits in arguments, I hate that shit.
There you go.
Exactly. Shut up real quick, like, can't say nothing now. The people that you so-called praise are fucking rating this high. Like, what can you really say? Like, it's funny.
Even Dave Meltzer was in love with Raw the other night.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even the people that rate y'all shit high, like, because Cage Match usually always rates AEW stuff fairly high, a lot. They rated Raw the highest, so it's like, well, you can't say nothing. They obviously thought Raw was good. But people, that just about does it. Good week so far. I'm pretty sure Dynamite is going to do that thing tonight too with the card that we just discussed. And we'll see what happens Friday for SmackDown. But until then, you guys...
Next week we got something... nice and special for you guys. We got a WrestleMania special coming up for you guys next week.
Not only
will we be doing predictions and for Stand and Deliver in WrestleMania, but we'll be going back in time a little bit and ranking our favorite WrestleMania main events from the last 10 years. From WrestleMania 30 to WrestleMania 39. What's our favorite main events? From our favorite to the least favorite, or just straight bum, you know, boo boo butter, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll be doing that next week for you guys.
It's gonna be a filled show, but it's gonna be fun because it is gonna be WrestleMania season that whole week. That feels gonna be like coming in, and then it's gonna be fun. I'm really excited for WrestleMania this year, for both nights too. Like last year, WrestleMania is pretty good too. This year, I feel like it's gonna be even better. So I'm just really looking forward to it, and it's gonna be fun to see, to watch them back, those main events. So.
I definitely agree with that.
Word. But yeah,
well, people, some of them at least. I'm gonna tell you what. 32? Oh god, you can't pay me to watch that again. Is that
Roman and Triple H?
Yes. Oh my god.
Oh, that's bum. That shit was bum. That shit was bum. Bum. Fuck, we gotta watch that shit now. Bum, fuck.
Rockin' Roman WrestleMania 34, bum too.
With him and Brock?
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
Oh my god.
I already know those two gonna be at the bottom of my list.
Yeah, that's a fact. I agree with you on that one.
So, I mean, the little spoiler alert already for you people.
Spoiler, word, exactly. but yeah, people, with that being said, if you guys fuck it with Dynamite, I hope you guys enjoy tonight. Get through the rest of the week, you know what I'm saying? You know, get through the rest of the work week. I'm enjoying my days off, thankfully, you know, I deserve it, I'm tired, and, but yeah, people, have a good day, and, make sure everything in life is too sweet.
Too sweet. See you guys later.
Yes, sir.